14th chapter of Luke's gospel. I want to share some things. 14th chapter of Luke's gospel, verse 12. Then said he to them that bade him, when you make a supper or a dinner, don't call your friends, nor your brethren, nor your kinsmen, nor your rich neighbors. I don't know why I never noticed that rich neighbors. I don't know how rich my neighbors are, but rich neighbors. Lest they also bid thee again and a recompense be made. You'll be an obligation, see. But when you make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And notice in verse 14, this seems to stand out to me at this time. And thou shalt be blessed. You know, we talk about the blessing. Here's another blessing promise. Love people that may not be easy to love. Reach people that others may not want to reach. Touch people that others may not touch. Help people that others may not help. And thou shalt be blessed, for they can't pay you back. But thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. He got real religious on Jesus. Then Jesus said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Great supper. Great feast. Great supper. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent, have you ever been here? Begin to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it, and I pray have me excused. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray have me excused. Another one blamed it on his wife, like Adam did. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Man, if he just married a wife, he better come. He doesn't know what Visa and MasterCard is yet. He doesn't know what shopping and malls and... Another said, I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things, and then the master of the house. Now, you know, how many believe God's a good God and God's a loving God? But you know, every once in a while, God gets real ticked off. And here's one of those times. Then the master of the house, illustrating heaven's response, being angry, said to his servant, here's the instructions. Here's the instructions to every church on the face of God's earth, to every minister, to every believer. Go out quickly. Go. First of all, go. Where do I go? Out. Quickly. Into the streets. We know what streets are, and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. That's just not your normal reaction when you think about who should I invite to church for Sunday morning. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as you have commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways, go further, and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Just with a simple title, I had 5 or 6 titles. I finally settled on this one. How to reach more people for Jesus. You don't have to go to seminary and get a doctorate's degree on false religions and cults and how to argue that. A lot of people think to witness, you have to know everything there is about every false cult and every false religion so that you can intellectually spar with them. It is not by your might. It is not by your power. It is by the Spirit of God. When people need help, they're not worried about the source of that help. They don't ask the doctor, where do you go to church and what do you believe and all about your life. Help me, doc. Help me. I'm dying. Help me. Help me, hospital. Help me, medic. Help me, MedStar. I need help. And how to reach more people for Jesus. And just really coming into a quick summary of this. There was a great feast. You know, there's not a better deal on the face of God's earth than the kingdom of God and Jesus and the house of God. Amen. You can get saved. This is the kind of feast you can get saved in. You can do it out in the field, but you saw what happened this morning. You can get saved in this house. There's a lot of churches it's hard to get saved. In fact, they don't understand what the word saved. I asked a Baptist one something about saved. He said, saved from what? He had a doctor's degree, but he wasn't very smart. He was a brilliant man, but not sharp enough. He wanted to spar with me. Oh, listen to me. You can get saved in this house on purpose. You can be healed in this house on purpose. You heard a healing testimony this morning. You can be set free. Listen, it's not just alcohol and drugs and pornography and whatever. Worry, depression, fear, anxiety, depression, criticism, bad spirit, strife. All of these are addictions. Sometimes I think they're stronger addictions than dope. I see some people bound with dope being set free, but people that are always offended that don't seem to get free. Folks, it's time we shake the snake back into the fire. It's time we shake loose from every lie, every craziness that Satan would try to attach. There's a great feast, all inclusive. Your marriage can be healed. It's amazing. So many marriages here. You could stand and give your own testimony. We came in here. Our marriage was in shambles, but we heard just a little bit of this or a little bit of that or a whole lot of something else. And we said, let's try it. We've tried everything else. And God healed your marriage. I say it only to help people. Every once in a while I think of something that's so under the blood that I never think about it. Joe and I were hardly married a year and a half. And we were both hard-headed. And you didn't have all these tapes and books and all this how to have a better marriage. And I remember we went to a counselor two times. She looked us in the eye and said, you two can't make it. Well, 58 years later, we're still making it. Because we turned from a counselor can do good things for you. I'm not knocking that. But I tell you, we turned to the chief counselor. And there's nobody that can give you a happy marriage like Jesus. If you've had a bad marriage, let me tell you how to have a good marriage. Make Jesus the Savior and the Lord of your life. Let Jesus be the invited guest of your home. Humble yourself. Be willing to say, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Some people are married a lifetime and never say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Oh, this great feast. I know, that's why I love what we call the full gospel, whatever you want to call it. We're not just walking a narrow line here, and this is it. But thank God, whatever your need is today, your need can be met by the Lord Jesus Christ. God can change your stinking thinking. He can start changing that this morning. God can change a lifetime of being a loser. God can reverse negativisms in your life. It's a great feast that we're here to celebrate this morning. It's a great feast. Oh, that I could tell it like it really is. It's a great feast. Oh, it's a great invitation. You know, if you ever walked by a restaurant and you saw all the people enjoying fine food, but you didn't have an invitation and you did not have the money to go in there. Let me tell you, this is not only a great feast, but oh, God has a gift card for you. And when you pull that card up, it says Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Oh, just come in and eat all you can. Oh, yeah. I was in the cafeteria there. I said, what happens on the day all you can eat? Said, we have to watch them. They carry it out in their purses and in sacks. Said, you'd be surprised what people try to take out on all you can eat. But let me tell you, honey, you can come to the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come to the steakhouse of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come to the lubies of God's house. And whatever you need, there is abundance. There is abundance of everything you need. Young people, what does the future hold? Who's my wife going to be? What's the job? What's the education? Let me tell you, it all goes back to Jesus. You don't go out and do your own silly thing and expect to have life's best come to you. If you do, you'll lose it. You don't know what to do with it. Most people that win the lottery go through it before the check even cools off hardly. But I'm telling you, Oh, I know this sounds simplistic. Sounds just like a preacher, but I am a preacher. Jesus was a teacher and a preacher. And he said, come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Are you hurting? Come unto me. What good will that do? I will give you rest. I'll give your mind rest. I'll give your body rest. I'll give your spirit rest. Oh, I got that overseas anointing on me this morning. Praise God. Because you're acting like overseas people this morning. Praise God. Come unto me. I hear it. Come unto me. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you will find rest unto your souls. Are you tired? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Come to Jesus. I could not tell you the time over these years when it was time to go to church. I remember one day it'd been a long day and we'd done extensive radio work and had some phone calls, and then I was to preach that night. My body was so tired, I just couldn't think of who to call or what to do. I said, I'll just go in the name of Jesus. I got in the service. Oh, that's why it's important to worship, to praise and worship God. Don't just come and sit. Come and praise and worship God. Don't turn off after praise and worship. Turn on to everything that God's saying and doing. By the time it was time for me to preach, I felt like I'd had a 3-week vacation. It's called the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. It's called the refreshing. It's called the new life that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. A feast. An invitation. Everyone. And you know, he doesn't go down the social ladder and see what kind of car you drive or where you live or what. All that's great. And I believe it's God's will to prosper us as we're in health, as our soul prospers. But oh, God loves everybody. God loves the man in the gutter. I don't know. They may be here this morning, but I can't. That's why we have a staff. But we've had a couple of situations and near-death situations that, as a pastor, you know, there's people in this church that I've pastored one way or another for 4 generations. That's quite a track record. And there are just some things that, so anyway, we've been to the hospital and thought that was it, but it wasn't it. It's kind of like Dr. Putnam, you know. We went and he called all his family in and they sang all the Bill Gaither songs, Precious Memories. You could hear him up and down the halls of HEB. And he said, I just wanted to call y'all in and tell you I'm going home to be with Jesus. Man, I was up there at the break of dawn the next morning. Dr. Putnam was on our staff. Dr. Putnam was eating breakfast, sitting up in bed. I said, Doc, I thought you were going home to be with Jesus. He said, oh, I decided I wasn't ready yet. Boy, there's some people just like an old Ford I used to have. You turn the key off and the motor keeps running. Amen. Amen. But we've been in the hospital and it looked like the last. But, you know, that's 2 days ago. So, you know, you never know about those things. Nurses said 2 hours, 2 days, 3 days. Come on. But, you know, after we got through, we had some good food in the fridge. Joe and I had not eaten since breakfast. I never do that, but I left home in a jogging suit that morning. Didn't even take a bath. God forgive me. I felt miserable. I just kind of stand away from people all day long, you know. And so I said, let's go down here to Brahms on 8th Avenue where we used to live, where the church used to be in this neighborhood. We went in there and, you know, we sat down and here comes a couple sits right beside us. And I look at them and I can see needs. I can see needs all over their life. Folks, there's no shortage on sinners. There's no shortage on people that are hurting. There's no shortage on people that have needs. Almost everyone has some kind of a hurt or something they're dealing with. If not them, their family or someone in their family. And after we sat for a while, I asked him something about it. Led one question, led another. He just had all of his teeth pulled that day. And he was nursing a little ice cream. They weren't old people. I don't know why, but he had stitches in his mouth. Oh, and they had a little boy. I don't know what was about six years old. I think it was a cute little guy there. And we got to talking to them. They haven't been in church for a long time. They were in a little small Baptist church somewhere, and something happened, and they dropped out. They said, we haven't been in church in a long time. And I said, you need to get back. He said, we've been thinking about that. And so, thank God, I said, would you mind if I prayed for you? There's a reason sometimes you do some things. There's a reason sometimes you go where you don't normally go or you wouldn't be at a certain place at a certain time. And so we prayed and prayed with them and they were so thankful and so grateful. And then went out to the car, and I knew it wasn't over, so I got my wallet out, went back in. I said, here, God wanted me to do this for you. He looked at me and he said, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. Oh, what I'm telling you, folks, there's a way when you pray. Everybody needs something. Everybody needs some kind of encouragement, some kind of help, some kind of encouragement. Man, I tell you, when I drove off, I thought, thank God. I forgot the jogging suit. I forgot I hadn't had a bath all day. Oh, I just said, you know, Joy, there's a reason we came here in a neighborhood where we used to live, but we don't live and we don't drive that way anymore. But oh, thank God. Thank God. Folks, we need to pray every day. Lord, you lead me where I need to be led. Let me contact who I need to contact. Oh, listen, God loves the high. God loves the low. God loves the broke. God loves the rich. God loves the sick. God loves. God loves. God loves. God loves. Oh, I've got to go on. So there was a feast. There was a great invitation, but there was a great rejection. You know, this is where people bomb out. We don't want to be rejected. No one likes to be rejected. I mean, let's just tell the truth. You don't like an outright rejection. None of us do, but we've learned to grow up and rise above it. But one had one excuse, one had another excuse. But you know, he specifically said, don't go to your rich neighbor. Don't go to someone that you're going to be obligated to them and they're going to be obligated. Go to someone that needs help. Go to someone that can't help themselves. Go to someone that it's only the love of God that is responsible for you being there. Rejection, a great rejection. Oh, but there's a great answer to reach people. You know how you do it? You go. I know some of you, and I understand that because you think, man, if I just had a doctorate in ministries, if I could just go to the seminary or if I could just do this or whatever. Listen, we have a plan that works, and it's a plan that works. And I'm going to say it again, it's a plan that works. And if you'll approach people right, don't slap them in the face with your Bible and tell them they're going to hell. I mean, approach them in God's love. Approach them in a scriptural, biblical way. There's a way to reach people. If they can be reached, there's a way to reach them. There's a way to reach them. Oh, a great invitation. You go out to the highways and the hedges. You go to the streets and the lanes, and then if you exhaust it, you go to the highways and you go to the hedges. Then there's a great answer to reaching people for Jesus. Just go. But there's a new direction. You know what God's really impressed upon me? You know, folks, I'm gonna confess something. And we drift into it and we don't realize it. We've become inverted around here. And I tell you, every department for everybody, it's not just begging somebody to come out to hear three or four verses of Scripture. Every staff person and everything we do around here needs to be outverted or outreach motivated. Amen. You know, you're not going to convince the intellectual. You know, sometimes some of the most educated, some of the hardest people to deal with. The smarter they are, the dumber they get. They want to argue this and they want to argue that and they want to argue and you argue. Forget that. Let's go to people that are hurting. Let's go to people that want Jesus. Let's go to the highways, the hedges, the streets, the lanes. Let every one of us make it our personal responsibility. We're not just sitting around getting fat. 56% of Texans that started Oregon said are overweight. We don't want to contribute to that. We want them to know Jesus. We want them to know that He's the Savior. He's the healer. He's the baptizer. He's the one that's the answer. It's just a new direction that we get out and do something. Get out and reach people and bring them in. Praise God. Witness, win, and bring them in. Say it with me. Witness, win, bring them in. Oh, God's answer to man's excuses is go to them. You know, four of Satan's biggest lies. First of all, he said, you know, there's no harm, there's no sin. And that doctrine's all over the place today. Second lie of hell is that there is no hell. There is a hell. And there is a devil. And there is a devil's hell. And there's only one or two places you're going when you die. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Number three, there is no hope. There is 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 hope. I tell you, there is hope. But then Satan said, there's no hurry. Oh, yeah, there's a hell. Yeah, there's a Jesus. But there's no hurry. Come on back next Sunday, next month, next year. Folks, if there was ever a time we drew a line in the sand and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, it is now. If there was ever a time to draw a line in the sand, what is going to make? When we were in that hospital room the other day, I'm standing there by the bedside, 81 years of age, four generations that I've had a pastoral input into. As I'm standing by that bed, I told the whole family, we just had church right there. We had a precious time. But it just dawned on me, this is where it's all going if Jesus doesn't catch you first. I don't know what hospital it's going to be. Maybe you can drop dead somewhere. But I'm talking about all things being equal. There will be a moment when they'll be standing by your bedside and you won't care what kind of car you drove, what kind of house you lived in, how much money you had, or how much retirement you had. It's whether you're going to heaven or hell, whether you know Jesus, or whether you're saying, my God, why did I waste my life? Folks, it's time to stop wasting our lives if we're doing that. Have a little simple thing in a little bathroom off our garage. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's why when six Christian schools have closed in the greater Metroplex area, Calvary Christian Academy is still open. Because we love, we care. Thank God for the teachers and the staff and the dedication of that school. Oh, that's why we've been on the radio for over 40 years in the Metroplex. Do you realize we've been on the radio for over 40 years? There's times we've had up to 3-4 broadcasts a day. We're twice a day now on KDKR. 12:30 and then 7:15 p.m. Both times are p.m. We've been on the air over 40 years. It's been a few years since we had that Jesus move back on Berry Street in the little post office building. The leader of that group that came in with those Jesus hippies is here every night. He's working with another church in music. And as I looked at Brother Jim, I just thought of how God took a small church and how God brought people in from the north, the south, the east, and the west into that little 200, maybe 250-seat chapel. And how that God brought young people in, delivered them from alcohol and drugs and craziness and Eastern religion and all the stuff they were into. Oh, I just thought how good God's been to this church for 48 years. And you know, the potential is still here. The potential is everything's in place. Everything's in place. Amen. You may get tired of it, but God doesn't get tired of it, and sinners don't get tired of it. And we're in place. Oh, team, we've got a winning team. Let's go on the field. Let's knock the devil's lights out. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. There is hope and there is help. There is a hell, but thank God there's a heaven. And we can do something about it. But here's the final thing that I'd like to share with you. And that's from the 14th chapter of Luke, same chapter. And the 23rd verse. Now, do you realize God's given us a suddenly this week? Do you realize God? I know that probably some of you say, well, I didn't come because I didn't want to laugh. Oh, my Jesus. We get so sidetracked. I mean, that's just a very small part. I mean, this week has been a life-changing week. Lord, I feel like a new preacher this morning. Amen. But I'm telling you, haven't we been praying for suddenlies? Haven't we been giving for suddenlies? Didn't God bring us through the tornado for suddenlies? Aren't we on the radio for suddenlies? Aren't we on television overseas for suddenlies? You know, we still have meetings in this church. We'll be meeting tonight at 6:30, and the power of God will be here tonight, 6:30. But you know what it's all about? He said, compel them to come in that my house may be full. Do you know God wants this church? You know what my vision is? That every church in the Metroplex that preaches Jesus will be full and running over. But I must confess, I guess I have a greater heart for where God's called me, being a pastor, and that's the way it should be. Folks, God wants our house full. I said, God, what? You mean just people come sit on pew and sing a hymn or two and then go? No! No, but come and be energized by the power of the Holy Ghost and let God encourage you and let God build you up and go out and tell somebody, win somebody to Jesus. Win somebody to Jesus. Oh, it's nice to meet you. Do you have a church home? Yeah, I go to Travis Avenue Baptist. Well, I say, who's the pastor over Dr. Coggin? He's been dead for 20 years. I don't know if he's been dead. He's a great man. He was a dear friend of mine. But you see, there's people that I say, oh, okay. Well, I know that, but I'm not going to embarrass them. Are you regular in church? Well, you know, preacher, I'm not as regular as I never let them know I'm a preacher unless I have to. They all get religious on you. But I said, have you been to church? Oh, you know, I'm just so busy. I'm busy. And I said, do you know Jesus? Oh, yeah, I know Jesus. Well, if you know him, then you want to rededicate your life to him, don't you? Well, they're trying to get rid of me by now. And I said, could I just pray for you? Does your family, does anyone? I'll tell you, the best intro to anybody is, could I pray with you about something? Very few people will reject, could I pray with you about something? But at that point, no matter how you get it, there's an easy way to get in there. And if I ever get them by the hand, we're on the home stretch right there. Of course, I'm going to pray until lightning strikes. I'm going to pray until there's a tenderness of heart. Father God, I thank you for giving me a new friend here today. And he says that he knows you, Jesus. But I just, would you rededicate your life with me to Jesus? I'm a preacher. Would you rededicate your life? Would you pray with me as I rededicate my life? Then they're going to feel like an idiot if they don't do that. Here's this preacher wants to rededicate his life. Humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. And as I pray and have them pray with me, oh, I tell you, I've seen more people come to Jesus. That's just one of the many intros that God can give you. Whatever works, you do what works for you. And we have scripts. You can just walk it right in with people's lives. You know what God says about church? Not for my ego or your ego or whatever. God says that my house may be full. That my house may be full. You know, I thank God for it every way. And there's people listening by streaming. It's amazing. We're growing in that area. But, oh, let me tell you something. You know, there's something about sitting beside someone who believes just like you believe or believes close to what you believe. Man, if you haven't been energized in here this morning, this hadn't been a regular church service. I mean, if you can't get excited today, I need to sing Just As I Am without one playing. Let's do it all over again. Folks, it's time to give God your best. It's time to scoop spirits of offense and he done me wrong and she done me wrong. Hey, folks, Jesus is coming. This world's on fire. We're on fire. Our embassies are being burned. Our flags are being burned. This world's on, do you understand? It's time to serve God. Let's do it together. Have a good house to do it together. Oh, welcome to the new Calvary Cathedral International. Welcome to the new pastor. Oh, let's praise our God this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise be unto God. Pray. I want you to stay standing just for a moment. I want you to pray. With me, I want you to pray with me a prayer of rededication to the Lord Jesus this morning. You said I prayed that a while ago. Do it again. Do it again. I want to hear your voice. God, please don't move. Just give me a few moments here. Pray out loud with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you with all my heart. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth, dying on the cross. For all my sins, forgive all my sins, Jesus. I believe in my heart that you're the Son of God, and I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Change me, God. Help me, God. Help me be the person I desire to be. Break destructive habits in my life. Break that spirit of worry. Break that old thing of depression. Break that awesomeness of not knowing what the day is going to bring. Jesus, I'm going forward in victory. Help me to be the person I always desired to be. Help me to get my mouth open and tell people about Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God.